Welcome back. I've got a couple of stories on apps, if you're interested. and did you know that Google Plus is 1 year old? Surely not.
Oh, yeah, you break out the birthday
really?
Cake.
Feels like it's been around forever.
See, we've gone back to cake again.
Is it
Are you
relevant?
Still on it? I don't know. I remember talking. Was that really a year ago?
Yeah.
I remember talking about it with you.
It was a year ago. People sort of lost interest to the point where journalists don't even report on how badly it's doing anymore.
Oh.
I occasionally update to it.
So you don't really use it at all.
But you go to the problem we talked about a year ago, actually. One too many social networks.
Mm. Yeah. But I also think that they have their hands full. They come up with so many other wonderful and great things that they should just keep busy with those other things.
But they have been very good at shoehorning Google Plus into everything. I mean,
That's true.
Do no evil business. You know, every time you update your blog now, suddenly it's like, do you want to update Google Plus?
Yeah.
Well, hang on, this is getting kind of invasive.
Right.
Nobody else has the right to do that to me. Why is Google doing it?
And that
goes back to the behaviours that the DOJ spanked Microsoft for, that this integration of their own platform gives it precedence over anybody else's ability to reach you.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're saying it had flat growth.
Flat growth?
Yes.
Oh, how very cute.
But apparently, they say it's attracted 170 million users since it was launched.
Oh, that's nothing in today's world.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, it does sound. But also, they were saying, in fact, there was a Matt Duffy, assistant professor of communications at Zayed University in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, we like Matt.
Said, I simply don't see many people on Google Plus. I check it occasionally and I see very few people adding content. And he said he questions what methodology they use to come up with the number 170 million users.
Mm.
Indeed.
I mean, it is a small number, but I also think that eventually they'll make good use of it. Just because it's an add-on to a lot of these other amazing products.
Well, yeah, they say there's more to come, so watch this space.
I think it'll be a bit like a spare car tyre. They'll find a way of cannibalising it and using it for something else
to
make more sense. Yeah, I can see that. Richard Posner is my hero.
Why?
Well, you know, over the weeks and months, we've been talking about these awful patent litigation cases and the fact that Kodak's selling its patents and Google's buying Motorola Mobility for its patents. And, you know, everybody's talking about these patents because patents means litigation and injunctions. And that's ever since Steve Jobs' cold, dead hand reached out to get Android, you know, Apple's been granted injunctions against companies like Samsung and HTC. And what's really been happening is that the definition of innovation is being stifled because you can't innovate without fear of being caught by one of these injunctions. And it really has been a slightly worrying emerging trend. Along comes Judge Richard Posner.
Mm.
And he's a US federal court judge of some weight and standing. And he put out a 38-page ruling against Apple trying to sue Motorola Mobility for patent infringement and trying to get an injunction to stop Motorola selling its phones. And Posner said, and I quote, "Apple is complaining that Motorola's phones as a whole ripped off the iPhone as a whole, but Motorola's desire to sell products that compete with the iPhone is a separate harm and a perfectly legal one from any harm caused by patent infringement." So he's actually come out and said, just don't be so silly.
Mm.
And he's thrown the whole thing out of court.
Wow.
Now, obviously, the parties have leave to appeal.
Mm.
But I think a very interesting take from a high court judge who just said, enough. You know, this is actually, this doesn't matter. These tiny little functionalities that you're litigating against aren't enough to make the whole product something that is intolerable.
Right.
So I think it's rather marvellous. It's great news to see that the legal profession might be saying, actually, enough's enough. You guys need to stop lodging these cases and really look at substantive issues of copyright infringement or patent infringement.
All the money that's involved in it, though. I mean, I could imagine that's why they're doing it, surely.
Or they've got money to throw away. Instead of ambulance chasers, you have computer chasers.
Yeah.
Well, you do
and
have
all the legal fees. And
it's all about money at the end of the day. It's about whether you can stop a competitor or whether you can get license fees from that competitor. Again, Posner, yeah? To suggest that it's suffered loss of market share, brand recognition or customer goodwill as a result of Motorola's alleged infringement of the patent claims still in play in this case is wild conjecture. I love his language for a judge. He's like, really good language there. He asked, how could it be permitted to, Motorola be permitted to enjoin Apple from using an invention that it contends Apple must use if it wants to make a cell phone? They're actually suing themselves, each other, over patents that they license to other companies.
Mm.
So hang on, why don't you just license the patent rather than issue an order for an injunction?
Oh.
Mm.
So Posner chucked it all out. So that's Richard Posner, High Court's judge and hero.
Mm. Well, I've got a couple of apps which I thought you might be interested in. One of them is a UN actually turns players into refugees in a new app. Oh. That was, yeah, it's an app that's only available on Android phones, and it's the UN Refugee Agency which has released a smartphone game aimed at raising awareness about the experiences of refugees around the world. My life as a refugee takes players into a scenario of fleeing conflicts and searching for family members. Sounds quite innovative, doesn't it?
It is. It is. And it sounds kind of like the SimCity model or these older, you know, virtual reality games. I wonder how really effective it can be. It's almost like those war games, you know, that it becomes, you stop understanding the psychology behind it.
It's actually, it could possibly detach you further and it becomes a game rather than actually, you know, hello, this is reality.
Right, yeah.
They say that according to the World Body, the game was developed to entertain and educate players with interactive narratives based on real life experiences of families torn about by conflict or persecution. Well, I can see it as as an education tool, but I'm not really quite sure who would voluntarily use it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
I don't know,
but yeah.
No.
Nope. And then there's another one which is great. It's called Burger Quest.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Back to food. But no, what's amazing is the amount of burger joints that are popping up all over the UAE. It's unreal.
I think it's the national...
It's not even lunchtime. What are you doing to me?
No.
Well,
seriously,
they've got, I think, every possible chain of burger joints.
So what does this app do? Okay. It helps you find it?
It certainly wins the award for most uses of the word burger in an app store listing. Burger Quest is the app you need, created by burger fans for burger fans. That means a total location for... location apps for fans of meat and baps with the option to rate restaurants and find tasty nearby burger joints.
Apps for fans of meat and baps. We are pained.
Yeah. That was on the BBC. No, it wasn't actually. It was in the Guardian, that. But yes,
I was going to say, the BBC, what kind of world are we living in?
I know, gosh. But, you know, I can actually see that working.
Yeah.
Go on, raise the tone.
Microsoft might be making its own phone. Wall Street analyst, a very respected one, has said he has information that Microsoft might be on the track to make its own phone. The point being made, if Microsoft did make its own phone, it would be a huge blow for Nokia. But Microsoft's also been in trouble for its hardware aspirations. Acer's Oliver Arthurns, who's Senior Vice President for Europe, Middle East and Africa, has said that Microsoft... really shouldn't be going down this path of manufacturing hardware, and it should be. He's actually concerned that Microsoft is defocusing from its job of making sure Windows 8 is great and being defocused into looking at the slate instead. And some lovely quotes from him. I don't think it will be successful because you cannot be a hardware player with two products. And instead of enhancing the user experience for Windows 8, they're opening up a new battlefield. I worry that this will lead into defocus internally for Microsoft, and then we have to suffer because we're working with their products.
I agree. The beginning of the end.
He makes the point that Microsoft is a player in an ecosystem, albeit an important one, but as a player in an ecosystem, it really needs to work on its place within that ecosystem and not mistake who or where it is within that ecosystem.
Well, they're a publicly traded company. Let their shareholders come out and cry foul play.
I think at the end of the day, it's going to be the users who dictate, you know, whether we want these products, Windows 8 or the tablet or even the combination of both of them.
Does he say when it was going to come out?
The tablet's due to come out fall, and I believe Windows 8 is due to come out fall as well.
Right. Well, thank you very much, guys, for those stories. Let's also just introduce now what's coming up in the next hour. We're going to be talking about the UAE Social Media Day. It's on June 30th, and it's a great opportunity to share and celebrate all things social media. We've got a whole host of guests who will be joining us in the studio to talk to us about it. It's free for all as well, so do listen in if you're interested in Social Media Day.